head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat 40. I'm with Anoush Sariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanty, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And it is Rick Redding. I am back with another exciting rock and roll edition of the Rusty Satellite Show, the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. Thank you for joining me and downloading the show. Please tell your friends. There is a lot going on. And once again, I have a really fun show today because, well, we're talking about drinking. We're talking about outdoor festivals. And, you know, what are these things really about? You know, if you really think about it, it's about finding excuses to go outside and drink beer with your friends. And that's what a lot of things that go on in this town are all about. If you want to boil it down to a little nugget of what things really are. And so this week, let me tell you about my two guests. In the second part of the show, I'm going to have a guy named John Stewart. And not that John Stewart, but John Stewart, who has been a part of the Louisville promotion scene for many, many years. His family, his grandfather, started Stewart Promotions, and now he is into bacon. John the Younger went off on his own, created a new company called B3 Events. And this weekend, on Saturday night at the Bowman Field Hangar, he is going to host the Bourbon, Bacon, and Beer Festival. How about that? It's the third time he's had it. The last two times, though, were in January at the Melwood Arts Center. So this time, it's at the Aviation Hangar, the same hangar where they hold the Tailspin Ale Fest out there at Bowman Field. It ought to be a great event. You'll hear all about it in the future, but I'll tell you, you can stay tuned. I'll tell you right now, there's a promo code, COZAIR KIDS, that will get you a $10 discount on a ticket to the B3 Fest, as it's called. You can go check it out at b3fest.com. And anyway, there's 18 chefs going, a lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff to drink, a lot of stuff to eat, and some live music. So can't beat that combination, can you? All right, but first up, I'm going to have Fred Minnick, who is... he has basically made himself into a local expert on drink. And Fred is going to be doing some special things at the Bourbon and Beyond Festival, which is September 23 and 24 in Louisville. I know that last weekend there were some great discounts for the Bourbon and Beyond Festival available, like through Thornton's and some other places. But anyway, it's going to be a spectacular thing. So you should, if you're into that. Fred and I talk about some of the music. I mean, if it were just a music festival, it would be spectacular. I know the big name Stevie Nicks is coming, and the Steve Miller Band. And as I referred to in the interview with Fred, some of my favorites, Johnny Lang, who you should know about, and Joe Bonamassa are both going to be here for the Bourbon and Beyond Festival. That's coming up in a couple of weeks. So that's going to be great. But first, I want to talk to you about about the show. The Rusty Satellite Show, it's sponsored by the Passport, the good folks at Passport Health Plan. I'm working on a special project with them. And on September 12th, that's next Tuesday, you can come to this. The CEO of Passport, Mark Carter, is going to speak to our Breakfast of Champions group at the University Club. You can go. It's bring $20 in cash for a fine, wonderful buffet breakfast at the University Club. And you can hear Mark talk about all of the plans for Passport's move to the West End, to 18th and Broadway, the spot where it was going to be a Walmart, and it became Walmart backed out, and Passport jumped in, saved the day, announced that they're going to build a new headquarters there, and they're really going to transform the area. So you'll want to get over there and have breakfast with me and Mark Carter on next Tuesday at the University Club. It's at 7:30 in the morning. There is a Facebook page. If you look up Breakfast of Champions on Facebook, Breakfast of Champions Louisville, you can get all the details. You can RSVP. We already got a good crowd going. And I hope you'll join us. It's going to be fun. All right, so Passport is our sponsor. Now, we are in the market for another sponsor. Your business want to reach this great audience of podcast listeners that tune in every week for this very local show. Every week I find somebody interesting doing something cool locally, if you look at some of the past guests in the last few weeks. And I'm gonna toot my own horn just a little bit here, but golly, just in the past few weeks we've had Kathy Dykstra, who's doing the great work at the Family Scholar House. I talked about the new restaurant in J-Town with Corey Sims. We had the Juggernaut Jug Band founder, Roscoe Goose, on here last week, along with Barry Burnson, a familiar name in Louisville media circles. So we had the leading eclipse expert on this show. So it's just every week there's something cool and interesting going on with the Rusty Satellite Show. So get a hold of me. You can email me at rick@louisvilleky.com or find me on Facebook, and I'd be glad to talk to you about a Rusty Satellite Show sponsorship. It also comes with mentions at louisvilleky.com, the Pulse of the City. That's my news website that I'm working on, and I'm trying to figure out what to do in the future with another site I own, eatdrinktalk.net. So anyway, be happy to talk to you about any of those. Just get a hold of me. It's easy to do. All right, let's get on with the show. The first up is going to be my conversation with Fred Minnick, and he's a really interesting guy. I've known Fred a long time, and he has. I'm really impressed the way he's marketed himself and become a best-selling author. He's got four or five books now, and we talk about that in the show. And he is going to be holding court at Bourbon and Beyond in a couple of weeks, and I think you'll want to go out there. And if you've got any interest in whiskey, bourbon, he also knows a lot about rum, and is just a fascinating guy to be around. So I think you'll enjoy this interview. It's the second time Fred's been on the show. The last time he was, we did the interview over at Churchill Downs, where he is the resident expert on bourbon for the track. And anyway, Fred's a fascinating guy. Stay tuned for the show. I'll be back with some interesting stuff that's going on around town right after that.
I had no use for health insurance, but my mom was always saying, sign up for Passport. And I was like, Mom. She was like, for my peace of mind. It got to be where I needed peace of mind, so I did. Now my mom, she can chill, and I feel pretty good about it too.
Together we can all feel better. Call 1-800-578-0603 and ask for Passport. That's 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan, working together for a healthier Kentucky.
And today the Rusty Satellite Show is with Fred Minnick, a return guest to the show. And glad to have you in the studio, Fred. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you.
It is. We got a great history. We go way back. But we're talking about something that's coming up in town that you're involved in, Bourbon and Beyond. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing there.
Well, Bourbon and Beyond is this amazing festival that combines great culinary artists like Tom Colicchio, Chef Edward Lee, Chris Constantino, Dean Corbett, Anthony Lamas, and bourbon. So, like, and you have all these great bourbons. Yeah, I've got a couple stages there where I'm giving workshops and doing Q&As with people like Julian Van Winkle, Fred Noe, Tom Colicchio. And so we have all these great activations where people can come and sip rare bourbons at Haymarket's special bar there, and talk to bourbon celebrities. And oh, by the way, you have this incredible music lineup: Stevie Nicks, Steve Miller Band. I'm really excited about Buddy Guy and Eddie Vedder.
I'm excited Gary about Jr. Johnny Lang and Joe Bonamassa.
Oh, so, I am a huge Johnny Lang fan.
Yeah. So,
great guitar.
So that is some great stuff. If it were only a music festival, it'd be plenty. But
yeah,
this bourbon stuff is really good. And I'm always fascinated with the story of how you become a bourbon celebrity in your own right. And the path is simply, I guess, specializing and learning a lot about it, right?
Yeah, you know, and also seeing opportunity and taking advantage of it, but a lot of luck. You know, and mm-hmm. just a lot of right timing. I mean, I wish there was a course in college that I could have taken to prepare myself for writing about bourbon for a living. But it really, it's just, largely was just reading and training myself and actually listening to people when they're talking. The distillers are incredible resources. And I would, throughout my career, I would listen to winemakers. I studied cognac. I spent, the Cognac Bureau sent me to France, where I spent the week helping them select a special glass. So every little pocket of the spirits world and drinking world, from the professional side, I've just kind of tried to absorb as much as I could. Okay. And it actually, my career really begins with where, you also worked with NetWorld Alliance, and that was a place where, I learn how to cover the food industry.
Sure.
And our, you know, Steve Coombs and I, we were covering the pizza industry and the fast casual industry. And when you write about that,
I was stuck on kiosk and ATM.
Yeah, that was much more exciting, I bet. But I learned to cover alcohol in that time. And when I went out on my own, I chose to focus on alcohol. But at the time, I was covering anything and everything I could. But one of the very first stories I wrote was about bourbon.
Okay.
So it kind of just kept taking off, and I tried to take advantage of as many opportunities as I could.
Well, I'm curious because I think I'm weak in this area, but you must be. Have you worked to develop your palate to be able to taste different parts of the different spirits?
Absolutely. In fact, I would say that's something that no one can really teach you. I mean, you can go and you can attend classes. Moonshine University has a real nice program called the Stave and Thief program that, you know, they teach you a little bit there. Whenever you take a tour with the distilleries, they can teach you a little bit. But really, training your palate is really a look back into your own tasting history.
Mm-hmm.
And when you taste something, you have a memory of that taste. And what I have done, I kind of applied something that I learned when I returned home from Iraq, as practicing mindfulness to kind of get myself out of some bad situations. And when I taste something, I'm trying to find that tasting memory in my skull to see what it reminds me of. And I continued like going down that path, and I would continue finding notes from like my grandma's kitchen or a restaurant I was at in Las Vegas, and I would boil them down, and it would be something like, you know, as simple as nutmeg. Like,
right.
What was that common ingredient that I kept, you know, I was like, all right, so I've got this, I got mom's apple pie over here, and then I've got this, you know, really weird dish over here. What was the common ingredient? And I would boil it down, and I'm like, oh, nutmeg. So that is that has been basically a decade-long journey. And by the way, I'm just getting started, I feel like, you know. Okay. we never stop learning, and we never stop learning about ourselves.
Well, I mean, and to develop that, I mean, I guess the question is, when do you have to start? I mean, is it something that if you start younger, you're better as you get older, or could I pick it up now?
Yeah, you can pick it up now. I think it varies by everyone. Of course, you know, there's some legal ramifications there. You can't start training at 12 years old. That's illegal. But
Well,
you know,
I know I waited till 15 at least to start drinking, but
you know, it's interesting that you asked that, because I feel like my palate developed as I got older.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was 15, you know, what was fancy for me was a Cheez-a-Rito from Taco Bell.
I ate a lot of hot dogs.
Yeah. I mean, there you go. And so, like, you know, as I got older and I could afford balsamic vinaigrette on a salad, you know, my palate starts opening up a little bit more.
Okay.
But, you know, as we get older, our taste buds develop, and then as we get older, we lose them. So, you know, you do have kind of like a prime tasting area.
So let me ask you, sort of at the Bourbon and Beyond, I read where you're going to be conducting some workshops and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of wisdom are you imparting at those things? What am I going to learn if I go?
My goal is to, well, I'll instruct people about how to taste. Like, so I have a little workshop about how to taste, Bourbon 101, and so you'll learn a bit of history there, and like kind of like how to taste like a pro. You're going to learn things about like how the barrel works. So, I mean, that for a seasoned bourbon veteran, that's very basic. But Brown-Forman's having someone from their cooperage come there and assemble a barrel and talk about it. So that's extremely exciting. And you're going to learn about some of the business side of things. I've got one called The New Age of Bourbon, where I've got Rabbit Hole and Peerless and Peggy No Stevens on there. And we're going to talk about like what these new distillers are doing, because you're seeing these new distillers do a lot of things that Jim Beam wouldn't have done 25, 30 years ago. They're doing things like honey malt. They're finishing in sherry casks. They're doing sweet mash techniques. So we're going to talk about why these new bourbon distillers are practicing a lot of these new age techniques, and what does that really mean for the consumer. And one of my favorite things that I'm doing is that I am conducting a series called Like Father, Like Son, with the bourbon industry is populated with people whose grandparents worked in the business.
It's family business.
It's very family oriented.
Right.
And it's all the way from the guy who's tapping the bung in the barrel to the master distiller. And Freddie Ngo, who's the grandson of Booker Ngo and Fred Ngo's son, is coming online right now, and he's really making a pretty big splash in the industry. He just had his first release come out. It's called Little Book, and it's similar. It's a blend, but it's a kind of similar packaging and a high proof, uncut, unfiltered, like Booker's, but it's his. And it's okay. And so I'm going to have Fred Ngo on stage, and Freddie Ngo, and Wes Henderson, and Kyle Henderson.
Okay.
So that's really exciting to me to be able to talk about people with, you know, we're going to get a chance to look inside their family a little bit and talk about some of the, you know, the emotions that sure. is connected to the whiskey. Because to me, whiskey is so much more than just the production of it. It's the people, and it evokes a certain kind of emotion in all of us. I mean, granted, after you drink far too much, that's a different kind of emotion.
It's a different emotion. But yeah. But you're exactly right. I mean, it's hard for me to, like, take in all the different brands and aspects of each brand and like be able to tell them apart. It is to me really challenging, and knowing what to drink when you walk in a bar. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's the whole thing. But this Bourbon and Beyond event is really great music, great food, but it's really here to celebrate bourbon.
Yeah, there's a big bourbon bar. I've got my own mini bar, so I have like some craft distillers there. And then there's the distillers also have speakeasies. So they've created their own little activation where they have a speakeasy and go in and they kind of catered it to their brands. There's going to be cocktails there. And, of course, you know, the people should be drinking responsibly, and there's this whole social responsibility campaign sure. associated with the event. But it's extremely exciting because we've always said that these bourbon distillers are rock stars.
Yeah.
They're actually sharing the stage. So I'm interested to see when I'm doing one of these seminars, I'm interested to seeing like who's coming to the seminars versus the music. Because people will have to choose at some point. Like, oh, maybe they'll catch a song and then come over yeah, to exactly. listen to us talk.
That's right. It sounds like a tremendous event. But let me ask you a little bit, though, about you've been prolific in terms of churning out books. And even I saw that you recently had one that wasn't about bourbon. It was about rum.
Yeah, it's about rum. Mm-hmm.
And so you're branching out.
Yeah, I'm working. I'm finishing up a book right now about mead, honey wine. So okay. Wow. I'm really, you know, I wrote Whiskey Women, Bourbon Curious, and then Bourbon Rise, Fall, and Rebirth of an American Whiskey. And those three books really told a lot about bourbon. And obviously I'm not done writing about bourbon from a book perspective, but my publisher came to me and said, you know, would you like to do something else? And I've always been fascinated with rum. And okay. rum to me is a delicious spirit with a lot of complementary flavors, but it has a lot of problems. It has there's a lot of drama associated with rum. It's deeply connected to slavery. It people are dying in sugarcane fields today to harvest sugarcane for rum. You have distilleries that are subsidized by our government. And no one knows about it, yet those brands populate the shelves in every liquor store you go to. And you have little guys trying to get an edge, to get any kind of attention, but they keep getting pushed down because they simply do not have the marketing capital. But there's a lot of beautiful rums out there. And oh, by the way, there's this whole little sugar war of people adding sugar and honey and wine into a batch prior to bottling. And so there's this perceived notion that rum always has to be sweet, when in fact, much like bourbon, which doesn't have anything added to it, a lot of rums will have very similar, you know, will not be sweet. They'll be dry, or they'll be earthy. you know, so they kind of take on a lot of that. But as consumers don't know that, like you walk into a store, unless you've done your homework, you know, you just see rum, and one bottle of rum may have 40 grams per liter of sugar, another may have none. And so if you taste this one, you'll have a completely different experience than that one. And there's no labeling there to differentiate the two.
Wow. Well, that's a lot of stuff I didn't know about rum. So you can get that book, Rum Curious. Mm-hmm. And everything else, I guess you can go to fredminnick.com.
Yeah, I love it when people go to Carmichael's. I love supporting them. They're an awesome bookstore. Okay. But, yeah, you can find the books wherever books are sold.
Okay. Well, we got to wrap it up here, Fred, but I really appreciate you coming by the studio. And I'm always learning stuff when I'm around you. So
always a pleasure, Rick.
All right, and Fred can be – you can meet Fred at the Bourbon & Beyond Festival, September 23 and 24, all right, at bourbonandbeyond.com.
That's it.
So, all right, we'll be back with more of the Rusty Satellite Show right after
this. Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
And thanks for staying with me on the Rusty Satellite Show. It's Rick Redding, your host and master of ceremonies here at the Rusty Satellite Show. Show number 218. That's 218 consecutive weeks we've done this great podcast, and I hope you enjoyed it. I think it's the most interesting podcast in the city. It's certainly the most that is focused on the city and the people in it. So, in this part of the show, a lot of times I talk about some things that are going on, and here we are, the second weekend in September coming up, and man, I hope you had a good time at Labor Day. I did not go up to Indianapolis for the great football game between Louisville and Purdue, but as predicted, I told you that Purdue and Jeff Brohm would give the Cardinals everything they wanted in a game. The three-touchdown line, you know, if I'd have been smart, I'd have put a lot of money on Purdue in that game, because I'm a believer after watching what Jeff Brohm did at Western for several years, that he is, if he's got guys with two legs and an arm, he's going to field a team that can score some points, and that's what happened. But the good news is Louisville got away with a win. They play at North Carolina on Saturday at noon, so you know, you could do that before you go to the Bacon, Beer, and Bourbon. I'm having trouble remembering how to say that. Bacon, Beer, and Burger, the three B's. Bacon, Beer, and Bourbon Festival at Bowman Field. There's another B. So you're going to hear about that in just a second. But anyway, that's what happened in football over the weekend. And glad to have football underway in offseason. The Cardinals don't come home until a week from Saturday in a big, big game against Clemson. We'll be interested to see how the hype is for that game. That'll be a big one. The home opener for the Cardinals, I think it's September the 16th at 3:30 at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. That's the big game. Have you noticed there's been a lot of news in the restaurant industry around town? A couple places just opened. I know that our friend Tony Palombino's place, which is called Wayland's Feed and Firewater in St. Matthews, opened up this week, as did a couple of other restaurants are opening, and they're, you know, look at me, I'm doing radio, it's taped, and I still can't remember the things I wanted to say about that, but anyway, good luck to them over there. The big news this week, I guess the thing that's dominating my mind, is out there in J-Town where I live, on the most visible corner of the city, at Taylorsville Road and Watterson Trail. It's just announced after we've been speculating about this, I think, for over a year, that a muffler shop left and this big spot on the corner is available. And Feast Barbecue is the attraction that's going in. Now, when I had Corey Sims on here the other day, he's the Max Doughhouse proprietor, he said he'd heard it was barbecue. But I'm just amazed. That was such a well-kept secret what that was going to be. And finally, they spilled the beans. I guess they made a deal with Business First to let them have the exclusive on the story to get it first. And it was released just the other day. So very much looking forward to another option for me to walk to from my house. I'll tell you something happened in my house. You know, with all that rain we had last Friday, this giant tree, I guess it was probably 30 feet high, in my neighbor's backyard, fell across my driveway. I mean, it was probably, you could get your arms around it, but it was a big tree and probably at least 2 feet in diameter, and it fell. Fortunately, I wasn't there. And fortunately, my Airbnb guest, as you know, I rent my house on Airbnb, had plenty of openings in October. Hint, hint, if you got some people coming in town, need a place to stay out in J-Town, it's an ideal place. But they were gone. They had been there and left for about an hour and came back, and this tree was across, literally across the driveway, and fell onto the spot where their car had been. So I got lucky once again, and very happy. The owner of the place got it cleaned up just Tuesday or Wednesday. Of course, it happened on a holiday weekend. I couldn't get my car back into the driveway for a few days, but you know, all is well. And everything's great now down out at my house. So that's a pretty cool thing. And also have some extra wood in the back. They pitched the wood, the guys that cut the tree down, back in an open spot in the backyard. So anyway, that was a pretty exciting thing. I played a lot of golf over the weekend. I played Neville Mead, which if you haven't played, it's a unique experience. I had a little trouble keeping my ball in bounds, but had a great time out there, and it was just a good time, good weekend, good Labor Day weekend, and now we're looking forward to these great festivals that are coming up. And the big one this weekend, Bacon. I should say just Bacon, but the Bacon Festival is coming up. I'm going to get right into my interview with John Stewart because I want you to hear that. It's an amazing story. If you've been in Louisville for any length of time, you know about the flea markets held out at the fairgrounds, and there's a big Christmas decor show. Stewart Promotions has been in business for some 35 years, I think, and doing those shows. So we talk a little bit about flea markets, and John has an office right there in Hikes Point, pretty close to where I live, and they've just been doing it. And John grew up here and basically was born into the business and loves the business. Now he's 41 now, and he still sees people who he knows from the flea markets back when he was a little kid. So anyway, it's another one of those great little Louisville stories I always try to bring you here on the Rusty Satellite Show, and I hope you enjoy this one and get out there and enjoy the festival at Bowman Field this weekend. Here's my interview with John Stewart.
Hey, this is Dan Vonderhyde.
Stephanie White.
And we are 40-ish.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
We talk about it every week on the 40-ish podcast. What do we talk about?
Wisdom. We drop some wisdom and just everything that's going on in our lives that relates to what might be going on in yours.
We have guests. We talk to people on the street. We're dropping knowledge all over the place. You can hear it every Wednesday. It comes out on Louisville.am.
Wow. Well, bigger company than I thought, right here in Hikes Point. John, what's the deal with bacon?
Well, everyone likes it.
Everybody likes bacon,
mostly. So I kind of came up with the idea that that if you mixed bacon, bourbon, and beer, not all together, obviously, but enjoyed them at the same time, you had three B's, so I decided to come up with a B3 bash, which I've had two of the last two Januaries.
And then, but this is the first one where the weather's nice.
And this is the first one where the weather is nice. It's going to be perfect Saturday. And it's this Saturday at the Bowman Field Hangar. It's called B3 Fest. www.b3fest.com, in case I failed to mention that. But basically, we have 18 chefs. We've got chefs like Dean Corbett, Zach Young from Marketplace, We've got the chefs from places like Chow, places like Guy Fieri's restaurant. We've even got a Lula's frozen yogurt who's making maple nitrogen ice cream, freezing it right on site right in front of you. You get to taste all those 18 different dishes. We also have a bacon bar, which has like four different flavors of bacon, like Dorito dusted bacon, mint julep bacon, crazy kind of flavors that you wouldn't normally encounter in the home kitchen. And then a few other bacon bites that Bristol's catering.
What's the craziest use of bacon, other than ice cream, I guess, that you've heard of so far?
Well, there's just, you know, some people do desserts with it, which is kind of, you know, I guess breakfast for, or dessert for breakfast, I guess,
yeah,
I would call
exactly
that, like with the frozen yogurt, the ice cream thing. Honestly, the bacon bar kind of does that. Like I said, the Dorito dusted. We've had sesame wasabi, chocolate covered, candied brown sugar, just wild varieties. And the stuff that the chefs do, sometimes they get a little wilder. I think it was the Silver Dollar, who's going to be there again this year, did a I think it was a Ruffles bacon Rice Krispie treat. Last year, that was pretty amazing. And the neat thing about it is that you get to vote. You get a voting token when you walk in. You get to vote on your favorite, and then we'll present a nice gold-plated bacon trophy to the to the winner.
I saw in your promotional materials that 10,000 pieces of bacon, is that right?
10,000 pieces of bacon. I picked it up the other day. It's 270 pounds of bacon. So, you know, I guess, you know, if I throw my back out lifting bacon, I could be lifting worse things. So, but yeah.
So you supply all the bacon and give it to the chefs, and they do their thing with it.
Give it to some of the chefs. Give it to Bristol or caterer for the bacon bar, and that was actually nice enough to be donated by Dryden Provisions and Frank's Meat and Produce over on Preston, which is a fantastic place to plug.
So. Okay, so you've had this twice in at the Melwood Arts Center.
Winter events, yeah.
Winter events. How many people have you been able to get to show up?
The first year we had a snowstorm to deal with in the first year, which is you know, not the most lucky thing, but we still got 300 people there. Last year, the beginning of this year, we had 600 people there. We had 13 chefs, and I wanted to kind of do something that allowed an indoor-outdoor thing, go to a lower price kind of food-inclusive ticket, and try to get a bunch of people out to the hangar. And like I said, the weather's cooperating, thankfully.
So you're expecting, I guess, more than 600?
Yeah, I'm hoping for 700, 800 people, somewhere in that neighborhood. And, you know, it's a great value for the money. It's a great cause with Cozair. I guess that's the one thing I failed to mention in the beginning, is it is for Cozair Charities. They'll have a silent auction. They get a portion of the ticket sales. And in the past two events, we've raised $12,000 for Cozair. So,
yeah, and you've got a bunch of bourbons and beers participating.
We do. We're sponsored by Four Roses, which has been awesome. We're going to have great Four Roses cocktails. You can get your old fashions, your Manhattan, something like that, with the old fashions or with the Four Roses small batch. We also have some more interesting cocktails like bourbon
mules,
raspberry iced tea. Yeah, you can get a Moscow Mule. Yeah, we got ginger beer out there. We'll have the mules out there. A little bit of everything from the bourbon side. We've got beer. We've got Old 502, or sorry, we've got West 6th and Mile Wide beer. We'll have those, two of each of those, and then we'll have Old 502 wines. We'll have a white and a red, bourbon barrel red, and white noise out there. So something for everybody, even if you don't like the bourbon and the beer, we threw a W in there. So.
There you go. Okay, so you were telling me you're going to offer our listeners here a promo code discount.
Yeah, I'd certainly like to do that. Yeah, if you use promo code Cozair Kids, just squeeze it all together in lowercase, Cozair Kids, you can get $10 off any ticket. Wow. Now, we have general admission tickets, which include all your food, but not drinks. Those are normally $45. That'll get you that for $35, all you can eat. All the cocktails are just $5 a piece, so we're not going to gouge you on those. It's a good deal for all of them, and they'll be delicious. We also do have about maybe 30 VIP tickets left, and VIP tickets, they're $80. You can get them for $70 with that promo code, and you get in an hour early, so you kind of beat the crowds to the chefs and get your food, get eaten early, so you can just kick back and relax. That also includes all your food and all your drinks, so it's a great value,
wow,
honestly. Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like a good deal. So that's a Saturday night at the Bowman, the Big Bowman Field Hangar, which I'm familiar with from Tailgate and Tailspin.
Yeah.
It happens there, but
yeah, we'll be out there at the same hangar there, Louisville Executive Aviation. It starts at 6 p.m. for general admission. If you know, for the VIPs, it is 5 p.m. But yeah, 6 p.m. and it goes till 11 p.m.
You got a good band?
We got a great
band. Understand?
Yeah, we got Soul River Brown and the Foundation Band. I know not a ton of people have heard of them, but I've seen them a couple times, and they impressed me enough to hire them. So,
okay. Well, very good.
They play a little bit of everything. So it's
well, you're not new to this. Tell me a little bit about your background and your family background, because Stewart Promotions I associate with. Phones always ring.
Yeah, especially when you got an event coming up. Sorry,
I know. You just lost a vendor or something, but
yeah.
This company's your grandfather started it, and looks like you're carrying on. You didn't ever consider doing anything else.
No, I didn't ever. Well, I did. I mean, I went to school for graphic design and looked into that a little bit, but it kind of played right into my hands here because I came back here and started working for the family business and started doing all of our ads, doing our website. So I basically do all that and am able to save us a lot of money, so we don't have to pay outside people to do it. I just take the brunt of it. And I guess, with the average age of the people in the office being 50 or so, I'm also the IT guy whenever they're ready to throw their printers out the window.
Do they ask you how to work, fix their TVs at home?
Fix their TVs at home, yeah. So become tech support,
I know. I have a son like you who takes care of my stuff. So, anyway, it's a great tradition, and you do some other events. This is a whole new company with the B3.
Yeah, I've kind of split off and just kind of a side project working with Cozair and doing as many events as possible.
Yeah. Okay. What else is on the calendar?
I've got a couple more ideas for festivals, trying to still kind of decide exactly what we do. But if you could think of any food that you think is delicious and can be altered a little bit, I'm going to go that route and try to replicate this and come up with a couple other ones.
God, I'm trying to think what I went to one at the Melwood in winter. It was breakfast oriented. What was it? Do you remember that one? It was a specific food, and gosh, I'm having a mind blank. But I went, and there were all these different ways to do it.
Chef's doing it different ways. Yeah, it kind of makes it neat because you get to, see ways to prepare things that you wouldn't normally think of. And the thing with this is you get all these chefs that are really having fun doing it. You get to talk to them. You get to talk to them about what's in the dish. Talk to them about their restaurant. They can they're helping promote their restaurant. They're helping the charity. And honestly, they're kind of trying to cut each other's throats and win. There's a pride aspect.
So yeah, there is a contest, a big trophy, and now what. What's you just said what it is, but you have to twist some arms with the chefs. How do you get them to go in for something like this?
Well, believe it or not, the hardest thing with a chef is getting a hold of them. It usually, they run crazy hours. Mm-hmm. They don't wake up till late. They don't come in. When they come in, it's late, and they don't get off till late. So a lot of times I go through the managers. Through my other event, I have a nice Rolodex built up, if that's still such a thing.
And electronic Rolodex.
Yeah, and the people, I think they see that I put on a quality event and want to be a part of it. The others, the new chefs, when they find out that it's, it helps Cozair, and when they find out that it involves bacon, they're usually pretty quick to sign up if they've got the manpower and the time, and they find out who else is competing. They're a lot of the chefs are friends, they know each other, and like I said, they want to get out there and kick each other's butts a little bit.
Exactly. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up, but Stewart Promotions, the other company, I'm always amazed because I remember when I was a kid hearing about the flea market. The flea market, how do you explain the popularity of those events?
Well, it's a very family-friendly event. You see a lot of people come, and you see several generations walking around because, the grandmother comes, the mother comes, they got a baby in the stroller or what have you, and you go out there, you get some bargains. It's a real family friendly place to go out and just kind of stroll around. people watch a little bit if you want to. I've been doing it my whole life, so it's fun, and it's really nice people out there. The vendors are nice people. Half of them remember me when I was, you know, yay tall, yeah. And they come up and pinch my cheeks, and I'm 41 years old, and they're still pinching my cheeks. You know, it's kind of like a family out there.
And I know you can't say this, but the opportunity to buy junk, too. So
the opportunity to buy some junk, yeah, yeah. I mean, and some people love it. You know, and it's kind of funny because, you know, people think flea market, and they do think junk, but, you know, we've got everything from $5,000 wedding bands out there to, you know, there's high-end jewelry, high-end antiques and stuff like that, but there's also, you know, the surplus stuff. You can go and get 5 gallons of laundry detergent for $20. Yeah. And so, you know, the opportunity for bargains out there and just fun walking around.
That's always a temptation. So, and now how many of those you have a year?
We do just 5 a year and then a Christmas show, yeah. Okay. So and then we've got them in other cities, so we stay busy. We're in Knoxville and we're in Indianapolis. And then I stay busy with these other events.
Yeah. Well, it sounds very exciting. I'm glad I got to know you. I live in the neighborhood and didn't know you were here. So
yeah, I appreciate you popping over. And like, yeah, it's like I said, it's www.b3fest.com. Promo code Cozier Kids, all one word, lowercase. It's $10 off each ticket, and that's this Saturday at 6 o'clock. And I can guarantee it's the most fun, delicious thing going on this Saturday, despite anything else that might be going on. You'll leave full and happy, and I think happy that you helped out a great charity.
Said like a true promoter. Thank you very much, John, for being on the show.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, and that is the Bacon, Bourbon, and Beer Festival, a Saturday at Bowman Field. If you are interested in going, certainly take this $10 I'm offering you. Use the promo code COZAIRKIDS when you go to b3fest.com and get your tickets. So that's going to be a very exciting event and a lot of bacon. He said 10,000 pieces of bacon, if you can imagine. That's a lot of bacon. I don't get it. But anyway, it ought to be a lot of fun. And I look forward to seeing you there if you go. But I want to tell you about one other interesting thing I did this weekend, this week, or I can't remember what day it was, but I went down to the West End School. If you've driven on 264 around Exit 3 at Doomsnell, you'll notice the Daryl Griffith Athletic Center over there. And it is something I've seen for years and never gone in. It opened in 2014, and I was just amazed when I went in because, sure, it's a nice facility. It's a great gym. The West End School is for kids pre-K through 8th grade, and it's a great school. But I went in, and on the right there, as you walk in, there's a gallery, and it's a room about the size of the Louisville.am studios here. It's a little bit bigger, maybe, but it's all it's sort of a tribute to Daryl Griffith and his role in Louisville, and you know, and just being able to remember some of the things that happened. You know, can you imagine that when Daryl's male high school team played, they couldn't find a high school gym to fit the people. They had 15,000 people come to Freedom Hall to see male play Central back in those days. That was the height of the popularity of basketball, I guess. And of course, Griffith, he was there doing an interview with us for a project I'm working on with Passport, and he's very active with the school and interacts with the kids, and his father saved a lot of the memorabilia in this room. But if you ever get a chance to go in there and you like remembering Louisville basketball in the 70s, it's really an amazing display, and I'm sure Daryl's very proud of it. And you can read a story I wrote about that, that Daryl's involved in a thing called Healthy Hoops, which helps kids with asthma, and that's coming up in September. So there's a story about that on Insider Louisville that I wrote, and I'd love for you to check that out. And remember that next week on Tuesday, Breakfast of Champions with Mark Carter, Passport CEO. Love to see you there and enjoy some breakfast with you. It'd be great. We have those Breakfast of Champions events every 2 months in odd-numbered months on the second Tuesday, if you can remember that. So anyway, that's it. As I mentioned, the show is sponsored by Passport Health Plan. I love doing it. I appreciate to all of you that keep my download numbers up and listen to the show each and every week. I'd love to have some feedback. If you have a suggestion for the show, if you know one of the most interesting people in the bill and would like to introduce them to me, I'd be glad to talk with you about that and put them on the show. That's great. You can always check out what's going on around town at louisvillekY.com, Pulse of the City. That's our website. And again, many thanks to all the people that helped me put this show together. And I am looking forward to show number 219 next week. Until then, this is Rick Redding signing off for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.